Lord, it's middle of the week and we're tired. Lord Jesus, you drew us together tonight, Lord, with a promise, Lord, that you would be here with us. And even now, Father, we can tell your spirit is here among us. We recognize it. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come and speak now, Lord. Let it be the very voice of God that we hear tonight, Lord, that encourages, because it's the word that you build your church on. It's the word that gives us courage. Lord, we so appreciate the anointings. We appreciate the baptism. We appreciate the Spirit. But Lord Jesus, with that, with the Word, we need the Word. That's where we get our strength. That's what we take with us when it's revealed. Come speak to us, Lord. Each person. Each one. Lord, I ask this believing because it is according to your Word. So let it be done according to your will, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible to Luke 21, we're going to read just a few verses here, then be seated. Luke 21, we'll start at verse 25. I hope you all having a wonderful week. Tell you what, I know this much, it's good to be a Christian. Wow, the conversations we have at work. I'm glad I have something solid to go by. Luke 21, 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You may be seated. Powers of heaven shall be shaken. Men's hearts failing for fear. He's talking about our day, brother and sister. He's prophesying. This is what we have to look forward to and what we're going to come to, you know, in the future. And this is where we're at, brother and sister. Let me go ahead and read the next couple of verses. He says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And we've seen that, have we not? Puts us right here today. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your hands, for your redemption draweth nigh. He did not say, when you see these things come to pass, crawl into a hole and cower in terror and fear because really bad things are about to happen. But that's what you and I want to do. Our old flesh does. We look around, we see what's going on and what could happen around here, and it's like, oh my goodness, in our old flesh, sometimes it can get a little bit scary. And some people say, I ain't afraid of anything. You just wait. Yeah. You just ain't been in the right position yet. I'm sorry. Everyone has fear in that old nature of yours. That's right. And that's one of the great things we got set free from. When Christ died on the cross, he set us free from fear. Because in Timothy, he said, Paul says, he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now go ahead and claim your inheritance and start living that way, brother and sister. Amen. Last time I spoke, it was about the thought of a time to be fearless. We talked about how this is a shaking time. God is shaking everything he can because he said everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And only the thing that's going to remain is that which can't be shaken. And I said, look at yourself. You're that which can't be shaken because you're still here. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes you just need to put yourself in the scripture and say, that's me. Because look at all the shaking that has taken place in your life. Every one of you. You've been shook this way and that way. You've had things happen. And sometimes you're just like, I totally give up. I don't know what else to do. I'm going crazy. And you're just being shaken back and forth. You've been through the most amazing sorrows. You've been through the most amazing trials. You've been through the most hell on earth. And here you sit. What's wrong with you? Should I tell you what it's like? It's if you go to a river, like a river where the water is flowing real fast. And when his fall is bad, but it looks smooth. It's falling smooth until it gets to some rocks. And what happens when it gets to the rocks? All of a sudden, there's rapids, there's white water, it's splashing all over, there's froth all over the place, and it's just beating together, and it goes between the rocks. It has narrowed itself down. It unites together, and as it unites, it gets stronger. But you know what happens? The rock just sits there. And this world has beat against you. It's caused you every kind of problem it can. It's taken away family members. It's destroyed family members. It's destroyed your health. It's done everything it can. It's depressed you. It's gotten in your mind. Your mind can get so many mental illnesses and weakness and everything till you can't even put two thoughts together anymore. And here you sit. Why? Because the rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is had been revealed to you, and you know what you're talking about. That's all it is. He builds his church on the revelation, which is the rock. When you're there on that rock, you can't be moved. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here you are. It's not what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm preaching about a time to be fearless. We're going to take it to another level tonight than we did before. Tonight, we want to speak on the time to be fearless. When we look at the age we're living in, and we're going to go back to the time of Babylon, and we're going to see a correlation between Babylon and us, because that was the dawning, the coming in of the Gentile age. And we are in the fading out of the Gentile age. And we're going to find out we have some things in common. And so what we're going to do is go back to that time and see what was going on so we recognize the same thing happening today. So this is what Brother Branham said. Daniel had become a great man before King Nebuchadnezzar and Belteshazzar and so forth. When he became a great man, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold and set it up out in the field. He said that everybody would have to bow to that image. That image was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide or something like that. That's a big statue. Did you ever notice the innocence of it? Who that image was made of? It was Daniel, the image of a man. So here was the prophet. The heathen king had made an image of the true prophet and put it up there and said, now bow down to this image of your own prophet. He said, did you notice the innocence of it? It looked good. He had made some prophets say, this is Ashtaroth, or this is Baal, or this is some other idol they had back there. He said, no, I'm going to make this easy for you. It's your own prophet. He didn't say, he said, I'm just kidding, it was Daniel, the image of the man. And didn't he say, the spirits of the gods, heathen, as you got today, three or four of them. And we still have that, people worship different gods. That Trinity doctrine is just amazing. Sometimes you hear people talk about, I probably mentioned this, one of my friends have a book called The Forgotten God. It's because we don't pray enough to the Holy Spirit. They wrote a whole book about it. And you know, I look at that and say, it just boggles my mind. And then we look at the way message believers are and we think, that just boggles my mind. Because that is not deceptive to us, but yet we have more than one God. He said, all that won't bow to that image will be thrown in the fiery furnace. You know, now listen, he says, you notice Daniel's off the scene at that time. Get what I mean? So he's going to parallel here between then and now. He said, now there's an image built up to Daniel, but Daniel was not there at that place. He was still around. He wasn't dead or anything, but he was not in that area in Babylon right then when they were doing that, because if he would have been there, he'd have been thrown in the fiery furnace with the others. So he was not there, but Brother Branham said he was off the scene at that time. Get what I mean? Parallel it with today, folks. And ever who would not bow to that image would be cut to pieces or thrown into the lions or burned in the fire furnace or something of punishment. That's the way the Gentile dispensation began, with a pagan form of religious worship, with a persecution to make them bow to it. And the Bible predicts it'll end the same way, a holy man, Jesus Christ, an image to him to worship it and so forth. So this is what we're looking at. He said that's the way the Gentile age came in, with the worship of a holy man and a persecution to force it. He said that's the way the Gentile age goes out, the worship of a holy man with a persecution to force it. That's where we're at today, brother and sister. It's exactly where we're at today. He said, I don't feel any persecution. Just stick around. Let's see if you do or not. A persecution make them bow to it. The Bible predicts it'll end the same way. So this is where we're at. So let's look at this. Now here's the thing we need to recognize. The difference between them and now, it was right out in the open. There was the idol. You could stand there and look at it. Yep, there's the idol of Daniel. You're going to worship it? I'm going to. I don't want to go in that furnace. Today it's not near that obvious. Today it's in deception. And that's where it gets close. It's the deception. That's where we get that gets us today. That's why we don't see. Well, I don't feel any persecution. That's part of the deception, because we don't feel the persecution. I promise you, it's right there, right now, tonight, sitting in this pew. You're being persecuted. Maybe in a lot of ways you don't even realize it, because you're just so used to it by now. Brother Branham says this. As soon as the king saw this vision and he made the idol, he forced every person in his kingdom and his domain to worship this image. He made an image. He believed, he said, and Brother Branham said, it's believed by scholars, in which I do believe that a spirit-filled person would see it, that he worshiped Daniel is what he did. He made an image to Daniel. He called it Belteshazzar. He called Daniel Belteshazzar, which is the name of his God. He made an image and forced every person to worship that image. I want you to notice at the beginning of the Gentiles, when God dealt with them, they got haughty in their heart and forced every man to worship the image of a holy man. So listen, look what he's saying. They got haughty. Why would a Christian get haughty? Because they looked around and said, we're better than you. We're smarter than you. We have gone farther than you. We have more truth than you do. Is that not what he said? How why they stopped the denomination? We have all the truth. We don't need any more. You either come our way or you're wrong. It's a very seated denomination. It's a haughty heart. You get puffed up because, oh, look how good a Christian I am. Look how much Holy Spirit manifests through me. Look how well I can preach. Look at the anointing we have at our church. Look how well we sing. Look at the worship services we have. We are the prophet of the hour. What do you got? It's a haughty spirit. Anytime you look down your nose at someone who's not a message believer, just recognize you have a haughty spirit and you have a denominational spirit. You think it's anything but the grace of God that you're here? You think you made yourself a solid rock? You know better than that. Forced every man to worship the image of a holy man, and the Gentile age was issued in that way. It will go out the same way. He says the same way, a boycott of the mark of the beast that will force people to worship images and do the things that we've been taught that was contrary to the word of God. And brother, now listen to this. He said, and brother, it'll be so slick and sly until it will deceive the very elect if possible. So you're not going to be fooled by a Trinity doctrine. You're not going to be fooled if someone throws a big image up there and says, this is an image of Brother Branham, worship him. No, it's got to be done so sly, so deceptive, that it will deceive all but the very elect. It's got to be so close that you can look at it and you can't hardly tell the difference between that and what's right. And it's idolatry. And it's the same spirit that when they fell down and worshiped the prophet in the old days, they're falling down and worshiping the prophet today. But it's done so sly that you have to be elect to be able to tell the difference. You say, well, I got to start studying and figure this out. No. You're off on the wrong foot already. You know how you know the difference? Because God reveals it through the preaching of the word. It's always through the preaching of the word or the people, and it's got to be a Holy Spirit-filled ministry. Otherwise, there is no way you're going to tell the difference. And everybody who does not have a Holy Spirit-filled pastor will be deceived, period. Because the Bible says he uses a fivefold ministry to keep you from being deceived. Now, you can find another way. You can find another way to God. You can try and do it some other way, but I guarantee you're not going to get there. Because God has one provided way for doing anything. Didn't Brother Branham preach that a number of times? God has one provided way, and if you do not want to be deceived, it's because the Holy Spirit-filled ministry says, holds up that idol and says, this is an idol, and this is Christ. My. Just the very thing of not having a pastor is idolatry. Because you set yourself up a different God who you can come to God your own way. And the Bible says there's one way to God, that's through Jesus Christ. And if you don't come through him, well, I got Christ, and you don't have a pastor, you don't even recognize Christ today, because Christ is the word for your day made flesh. And if you don't see that, you don't see Christ today, so you're coming to God a different way than through Christ. He says, so you better purpose in your heart tonight and be filled with God's Holy Spirit that you'll be able to discern the right and wrong thing when that proclamation is issued. You better purpose in your heart that you'll be able to discern the right thing and the wrong thing when that proclamation is issued. How are you going to do that? By being really smart, by figuring it out? No, it's because when you have the chance, you're going to come to church and you're going to let the Holy Spirit discern it for you. And when he discerns that you got idolatry in your heart, you know what you get to do? You get to destroy that old idol. Brother Phil, we don't have idolatry in our hearts. No, it's not in your heart. It's in your mind, actually. It's not in your heart. Your heart's sealed. There's no idolatry there. But in your mind, you probably still have a few idols. Hate to say that, but it's true. Things that we still loved a little bit too much. A little bit of pride. You know how you know? It's because when something happens and you go ahead and grieve the Holy Spirit away so you can protect that whatever thing is that you're trying to protect. That's idolatry. Oh, wow. He makes it so simple. It's got to be so close that it deceived the elect if it was possible. Let's look at some of the ways that's idolatry. And there's a million ways that message believers do this. Sometimes they just esteem Brother Branham a little bit higher than they do Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Sometimes they recognize Christ and Brother Branham, and instead of like focusing on the Christ, they focus on the man, the flesh. And they esteem the man. They put the man up here. Like saying, all you have to do is love Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, you must be born again. The Bible says you must be born again. Brother Branham said, you must have the token. And it has to be on display. See, your human love for Brother Branham is not going to put you in heaven. You love the God of Brother Branham. That's how you love Brother Branham, because you love Jesus Christ in him and you fall in love with Christ. You recognize it wasn't Brother Branham anyways. It was a Christ in him. And the Christ in you loves the Christ in him because you've both been birthed to the same spirit. That's how you get to heaven, folks. What is it? People trying to find some other way is called idolatry. It's idolatry. We promote Brother Branham. You can hear people around the message. We're promoting Brother Branham. We're promoting the message of the hour as Brother Branham preaches. It's about Brother Branham's ministry with Brother Branham. Brother and sister, no matter. No wonder so many people think we're in a cult, because they are. More, a lot of cults around this message claiming to be. And you know what? Some of them are so close you can't hardly tell. You can't. You know, another way we idolize Brother Branham is we say, every word he spoke on the tapes was thus saith the Lord. Well, brother, so he himself said that wasn't true. So call him a liar. Every word that we are saying, if every word Brother Branham said was thus saith the Lord, then you are putting him on an exact par with Jesus Christ himself. The man, Brother Branham, on par. You say he couldn't make any mistakes on the tapes. He did too. He absolutely did. He re-preached things. He had to say things different. He changed as he got more revelation. He is constantly changing. But if you believe that, you're putting him up there with Jesus Christ. That's an idolatry. You're worshiping two gods, Jesus Christ and William Branham. You know another way we do it? Worshiping knowledge. Try to figure it out. You know what people say? He said, well, Brother Phil, if everything he didn't say wasn't when thus saith the Lord, how do I know what to believe? What a ludicrous thought. Here's what I tell you. I tell you what you believe, brother. It says you believe what God reveals to you. That's all it requires. But what about this doctrine over here, brother? I don't understand it. Okay. So you don't understand it. But I have to know it. Why? Why? Because every word has to be word on word. So you're going to take the whole Bible and make every word on word from the whole Bible, right? What are you, a computer? Brother and sister, God takes the word and he reveals to you what you need to know to put you in a rapture. Amen. Quit worrying about the rest of it. He'll put it all together. He knows what you need. You sitting down and trying to figure it out and study it out so you can put all the doctrines in the right place and all the mysteries in the right place and everything right. You're an idolater. You're worshiping knowledge. Because it makes you feel special. Makes you feel smart. Makes you feel better than the average. You can tell other people what you know. Woo. It's true. And Satan takes us and he swings us that way. Some of the people who are thinking about, some of the people just think like, I think way too much. Especially about things I shouldn't think about, just worrying and stress and all that. But what Satan does is, well, what about this? And you try to figure it out and you try to figure it out and you this and you have to put this together and you put this together. And brother and sister, I'm just wasting my time. Just let it go. God will tell you what you need to know. He's very capable. He's not going to let you go. Hasn't he proved to be faithful up to this point? My, what a being he is. What? How do you describe him? Look what he's done for us. Look how faithful, look what he's brought you through. Look how the many times that he has proved to you, I will not let you go. How many times can you say, I should have fell off there, I should have fell off there, he should have kicked you into hell there, I should have totally been blaspheming over there, and yet here you sit tonight, because he said, I am proving to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are my child. Now start believing it. My. Get that revelation. I had that revelation. Get it more. Start believing it. He's telling you tonight, you're my child. Quit doubting it. Quit worrying about if I'll take care of you or not. But God, what if something bad happens? There's no what if. Yes, something bad is going to happen. Haven't I led you through everything bad before? You think I'm going to say, well, that's too big for me. Boy, I'm just chewing myself up right now, brother and sister. Some of the things I worry about. Stupid. It's beyond stupid. It's criminally stupid. It's criminally insane to worry. It is. It's also doubt. It's unbelief. Boy, it's one of the biggest things Satan uses against us. Get in our mind and battle it out. So don't get, oh, Brother Phil, you're right. I worry. Oh, stop it. Don't get down. Don't let Satan beat you down with this stuff. This is to encourage us. Amen. God knows what we're going through. He knows your weakness. He knows what you're struggling with all the time. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. Sometimes it's just good just to look where you came from and look where you're at now. What's your trajectory? Heading up. My, that's exciting. Good to talk about him, isn't it? Oh my. Let's move on. Let's leave these idolaters behind for a second. So what's it like? Just religious persecution. Forcing to worship or be destroyed. Now, up to this point, brother and sister, you and I are not being destroyed. Talk about physically. Emotionally, absolutely. Mentally, you better believe it. We have so many spirits, so many things coming against us right now that we are being so attacked. And brother and sister, but so far, here in America, physically we have it good. But let me tell you something. The number one religion around the world that is being persecuted, what is it? You think it's Islam? You think the Muslims are the most persecuted people? Not even close. It's Christianity. And there are a lot of Christians, a lot of countries who are giving their life, even right now as we're sitting here, for believing in Jesus Christ. You say, well, they're not all message believers. Brother and sister, if you give your life for Christ, you're going to be in heaven. He's not going to come up, oh, you're not going to make it because, you know what, you didn't believe all the right doctrines. You walk in all the light that God gives you, and you're going to be there. That's all he expects out of you. That's coming to America. We're going to find out, I think I'm preaching Sunday, we're going to find out Sunday that's coming to America. How would you react? Right now. Let's just get off the subject a little bit. Let's jump to Sunday. What would keep you out of church? The threat of going to jail? Having your house burned down? Your wife being raped? Your kids killed in front of you? What would cause you to turn your back and say, I can't do this anymore? That's what's happening around the world right now to Christians. Burned to death, shot, out, the mercy of the elements, no place to go, nothing to eat. That's happening, folks. Sometimes we got it good, don't we? So would you still come to church? Would you sit here in church knowing that someone outside might be ready to throw a bomb through the window and start this place on fire? And Phil, you're being so dramatic. Close your eyes. Don't look at reality. Get on the internet and look around. Look at the stories. Look what's happening. It's happening, folks. You think we're all safe and secure here in America? Have you seen what's going on in America? Well, Trump's in office. We're going to be safe. Oh, brother. Trump's in office. It's more dangerous now than it ever was. Time of persecution, brother and sister. Religious persecution. And then when you do not worship at the idol of Brother Branham, you are rejected, you're despised, you're hated, you're cast out. By who? Message believers. And you have a reputation just by going to this church. It's not bad right now. Just stick around a little bit. Let's go back to Babylon. He said, one time the Hebrew children, when they were carried over in Babylon, the time come, they had to stand for what was right. The king made a proclamation. He said that whosoever will not bow down to this image shall be thrown in the fiery furnace. The time came for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to show their colors, their faith in God. So they turned their back to the image. They said, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace, but nevertheless, we'll not bow down to any of their images. So they brought him up there. They said, now listen, you need to bow down. You need to worship this idol. It's your prophet. What's your problem? It's your own prophet. He said, we're not going to do it. We're going to go to church where there's a pastor who has the Holy Ghost. We're going to go where the word can come and actually change us. Where the word, that Jesus Christ is actually speaking to flesh today, the very voice of God. That's where we're going to go. Said that it's time to show their colors. He said, listen what the revelation was. He said, now we know God can deliver us from that fire, but we don't know if he will or not. Whether he does or not, we're not bowing down. They did not go into the fiery furnace knowing that God was going to deliver them. That was the revelation they had. They knew he was able, and they knew that he was worth dying for. My. Have we received that revelation? That he is worth dying for. Then it's up to him. And if I can serve you by dying, then let me die. If I serve you better by living, let me live. But it's all up to him. He said, there it was. It was time. The season was there. So then the time came when he was going to throw them in the fire furnace, burn that religion out of them. The time was there. Brother and sister, we are at a time when we must be fearless. We are at a time when the persecution is coming on. It's becoming stronger and stronger. And brother and sister, when you look around this country, you look how the people are so anti-Christian, anti-anything that you stand for, and it's getting stronger and stronger. It's a time. And if you're not fearless, brother and sister, you will fold. You'll give in. Because the pressure is going to be too great. I'm not talking about not being afraid of things. You might be afraid of a dog, or you might be afraid of getting beat up. Or I'm not talking about that. You know, I have claustrophobia, whatever it is. But I'm talking about when it comes to standing for Christ. You might be the biggest coward in the county until it comes to standing for Christ, and then you're fearless. And if you're not there yet, you will be there. Because that's the bride's inheritance. You're going to stand fearless. So don't worry. I'm afraid, Brother Phil. That's fine. That's why we're here tonight. Get some of the fear out of you. Amen. And you know what is going to happen? It's not going to happen like that. It doesn't happen in an instant. It happens over time as he ripens the seed, as it comes to maturity, and that grown person, that baby stuff all goes away. I wish it happened just like that, don't you? But it's a character building. It's not a gift. It's a victory. You win. That's what the devil tries to do all the time. Burn you up on something. Make you sicker than when you're prayed for. Make you think you lost your experience with God. He's lying to you. Doesn't he do that to you? You lost your experience with God. Are you really sure that you're born again after all? I mean, look at what you're going through right now. Look at the mistake you just made. You prayed and you thought God was going to heal you. You're sicker than you were. The time comes when you have to stand on God's word. Stand alone. That's not standing with your family. That's not standing with the church. That's not standing with the pastor. It's standing alone. You must stand alone. So as long as I have my family with you, that's going to be destroyed. That'll be ripped apart in front of your eyes if you try to put your family up before them, because you're making an idol out of your family. We've seen that happen, haven't we? When that time comes, stand there. There's got to be a time when you've got to separate yourself between your feelings and your faith. That's the time it is tonight. Oh, if we could just sit there the rest of the time tonight. You got to separate between your feelings and your faith. Let me say it again. You got to separate between your feelings, your love of this and your desire for that, and your feelings for this person, and your desire and your ambitions and everything else, and your pride and everything. Your feelings are hurt, and your sensitivities and anything else that's just a feeling. You say, I don't care about that. This is where I'm standing. And your flesh is going to tell you, your mind is going to tell you, you do too care about that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so tore up about it. And your flesh is right, because your mind does care about it. But there's something greater than that. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. And you put it on the line. You think those Hebrew children went up there not knowing? You think their flesh wasn't afraid of being burned? Come on. Like, oh my goodness, let's find out what happened. Separate between your feelings and your faith. When you're feeling something and you're all tore up and you're feeling down or something's bothering you and you look at that feeling, Satan wants you to dwell there on that and say, oh my goodness, my life is so hard right now. And God's saying, why don't you walk in faith? Recognize it's just a feeling. That person hurt my feelings. It's just a feeling. But he disrespected me. It's just a feeling. Did God ever disrespect you? Well, he's humiliated us a few times. I felt disrespected when Brother Jerry tearing my hide to pieces. Okay, well, he's disrespecting your own flesh. What are you trying to do, protect it? Of course we are. That's why we get all upset when he preaches about us. Let's go on. There are times that come when these Hebrew children had to seal their testimony by a fiery furnace. The king said, look, we got some fanatics down here. They're causing a little trouble with their religion. We're going to build a furnace over here and heat it 7 times hotter than ever been heated. We'll burn that out of them. Can you imagine burning the Holy Ghost out of a man? It can't be done. If you got the Holy Ghost, don't worry. They can't burn it out of you. They bound them children. They put them in front of a stair, started walking up a platform that was to fall into this great furnace. I can hear Shadrach say to Meshach, say, did you... You sure you prayed through? Oh, yeah. Oh, those mighty children, those Shadrach, Meshach, but they were fearless. Yeah, they were in their spirit. But let me tell you something. That old flesh still pops up a little bit. So are you sure? Let me tell you something. You need to be checking. Are you sure? We go around. We're born again. Are you sure? Have you prayed through? This ain't something you can just guess at. You can't just hope for. You can't be haphazard. You have to know, brother and sister, because this is like, you don't get another chance once that rapture goes. Are you sure? Sometimes when Satan puts the heat on, we have to stop and check up. Lord, do I truly believe this? Stop and check up. That's what the heat is there for. Stop and check. See what else. See what's still separating you. Still, see what you're still holding on to. What idolatry do you still have? I can hear Shadrach say, yes, it's all prayed up now. The king said, you want to take that back, boy? You want to quit? Hey, you can come over to this other church. I'll tell you what. You don't even have to fall down and worship this, but just come over and worship at this other church. Nope, we're willing to seal our testimony with our life. We're ready now. So no, we took our way with the Lord's despised few. I'm going through with it. The time was for decision. Just a few minutes left. Just a few minutes left. I can hear him say, all right, walk him up. The heat began to get a little bad. Don't worry. If you accept him tonight as your healer, Satan will put the heat on you tomorrow. Don't you worry about that. You claim some deliverance, you claim some healing, you claim something from God, you claim you're a believer. Don't worry, tomorrow Satan will put the heat on you. He said, don't worry about that. It's going to happen. They start walking a little bit further. I can hear him say, are you sure you're prayed up? He said, yep. I said, well, all right. Got right up to the steps, to about one more step. They began to feel fainty, like they was going in. In a few minutes, I can see those guards with their spears ready to push them over into the fire furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than it was ever before. Can we stop there a minute? What does that mean, 7 times hotter? What's the significance? Because in this age, the furnace has been heated 7 times hotter too. Because there have been 7 church ages, and all those demons that collected down through those 7 church ages are right here at this age. On you. Remember those demons that came out of the river Euphrates, and however many hundreds of millions it was, 200 million or something? And Brother Bram said, they're here against the bride. Plus all the demons that were here before and everything. And then all those demons are persecuting you tonight. And it's just going to take a little bit longer until that ecclesiastical religious spirit is taken out of the way and they can turn their full fury against you like they are in other places around the world. America is still being blessed, the residue of it, because we still have a little bit more time. But that will be taken out of the way, brother and sister, and they are going to come unloose.
now it's still a religious persecution, or more mental or spiritual, I should say. You have to know, brother and sister. You have to know. Let me go a little bit further. He said, we're painting an awful picture, dark picture down here. Let's turn our cameras up this way once. Always when there's something going on down here, there's something going up there also. There's always two sides to it, you know. When Satan's on the job, Jesus is also. Ever who you yield your faith to, that's the way it's going. Do you hear what he said? Whoever you yield your faith to, that's who it's going to. That's the way it's going. So if Satan's on the job, Jesus is on the job. You can yield your faith to either one. It's really easy to do. It takes one statement. It takes one attitude. It takes one thought that you give into. Boy, you're going to have a hard day today. Man, it's going on those days. You just yielded to Satan. You just gave your faith because now you confessed that it's going to be one of those days. It would have been just as easy to say, it's going to be one of great days. Put it in God's hand. Well, what if bad things happen? What do you mean, what if? Bad things are going to happen. It's a human condition. And bad things happen to good people and bad people and indifferent people and believers and non-believers and atheists. Bad things happen to everybody. Why not put it in God's hands so he can bless you through it? Instead of getting all beat down, getting a bad attitude, you're yielding your faith to Satan. You think a Christian can do that? Yes. We probably do it way more than we think. All you have to do is accept his word sometime. You know what? You know, Brother Gene thought he was saying, he was disrespecting you, Brother Phil. He said something bad about you. He probably really thinks you're a jerk. And all I have to do is say, he probably thinks I'm a jerk. I'm yielding my faith to Satan because he gave me that thought. God didn't. Where do the thoughts come from that you accept? It's really easy to tell most of the time. Sometimes it's a little harder. Sometimes Satan will slip some nice religious thoughts in there. Brother Todd's kind of weak. I just think I need to really pray for him. He really needs me to pray for him right now. He needs me to be humble and love him. Yeah, I pray for him, but not with that attitude. If I'm feeling superior to someone, it's because of my religion. That ain't Jesus Christ. Let me get going. He said, let's look up this way. I can see him sitting up there in his majesty, his priestly robes draped around him, looking down, talking about God. I see it coming to his right, a great angel. His name's Gabriel, great archangel. He comes running up. He pulls his sword. He says, Master, have you looked down in Babylon? Your people's taking a stand for you down there. The hour has come for them to stand, and they're taking a stand, but that bunch of people there is going to push them into that fiery furnace. Let me go down there. I'll clean that thing up. He said, I believe he could have done it. He said he will give his angels charge over these. And I believe the angels of God are encamped around those who fear him. I can hear Gabriel say, I'll go down there. I'll strike Babylon off the map if you'll just let me go down there. Have you considered them? Gabriel pleading their cause. I can hear the master say, yes, Gabriel, you're a wonderful angel. You've obeyed me and set up my right hand ever since the day I created you. But I can't let you go. Just can't let you go. I see coming this way another angel. Look at him. He rushes up. He's called Wormwood. He falls down. He has control over all the waters. I can hear him say, Master, down in Babylon, your children has took a stand. They're going to throw them in the furnace this morning. They're almost there. I've stood by your side since you created me. I have control of the waters. In the antediluvian destruction, I broke up the springs of the deep. I swept over the earth. I destroyed the whole earth with water. Let me go down there this morning. I'll wash you off the face of the earth. That I believe he could have done it, don't you? Have you considered them? I can hear him say, can't let you go. You've been a good angel, but I can't let you go. He said, have you considered them? He said, yes. He said, all night long, I've been watching them.
in your dark times, you think there's angels around me? Where are they? How did this happen? God, have you considered the situation? He said, yeah, I've been watching all night long. Brother, his eyes on the sparrow. I know he watches me. He's watching you. He's seeing how much faith you got. He wants to see what kind of a stand that you'll take. What will you do? Will you give in to despair? Will you give in to your feelings? Will you give in to, oh my God, I just don't know what to do. Oh, I just so despair. I just don't have no more hope. He wants to see what kind of stand you'll take. You ever feel really childish and spoiled and immature when you go through one of those despairs and you give into it, and then he brings you out of it and he's standing there. What was that hissy about? What was that throwing a fit about? What was that despair about? Do you not believe I was there? Wasn't I there before? Don't you know I'm taking you through it? What do I have to do to prove it? He said, all night long I've been watching them. He said, well, why doesn't he do something? He wants to see what kind of a stand you'll take. Can you be fearless in this age, in this hour? Because Brother Branham said he cannot use a coward. He's looking for someone who actually believes what he tells them, that I am going to rapture you. You are going to have a body change. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Do you believe this? He's watching you, seeing how much faith you got. He wants to see what kind of a stand you'll take. That hour has come now. What are you going to do? This ain't just Phil up here just spewing off some doctrine. This isn't just someone up here, let's have church tonight. This is Jesus Christ saying, what kind of a stand will you take? This is the hour. Well, Brother Phil, I'm just not in the mood tonight. Give your faith to Satan then. I'm having a hard time. Give your faith to Satan. Cutting it awful close, Brother Phil. Do you want to go in the rapture? How close does it have to be? It is so close, it will deceive all but the very elect. What kind of attitude is worth holding on to? What kind of protecting myself is worth holding on to? But it hurts! Yes, it does. It hurts. Are you willing to let that go? Or do you have to protect yourself from being hurt more? Brother Phil, you don't know what I've been through. I don't care. Can I say that again? I don't care. Because if that's your attitude, you obviously haven't been through enough to get over it yet. Man. You know what he does, of course? He lets you fall until you hit the bottom, until you're ready to finally give all that up and say whatever you want. I'm here to serve you. And you're right, Brother David. I watched them all night long. I heard every prayer they prayed. I heard every prayer they prayed. How dare you sit there and wonder if God hears what you ask? How dare you wonder if he heard your prayer? Well, he's not doing anything. I'm still miserable. So is that why you stopped praying? Is that why you stopped believing? Was it too much? The fire got too hot for you?
me tell you one thing. I've said this before. I'm going to tell you again right now, brother and sister. I can tell you this, that second after you get a body change, you will not regret a single moment of what you did down here. You will not regret a single moment of anything you had to go through to get to that point. And you would say, I would do it a million times worse if this is what it means. Just get to the body change. It'll take care of it. And I can also tell you this, that if something keeps you from it, as soon as you know that you missed the rapture, you're going to realize how foolish you were. You cannot imagine the regret that you will feel if you're still here after the rapture happens. There's no way for me to express in words the agony of spirit that you will immediately experience, and for the next however until you're killed. Because Jesus said there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You ever gnash your teeth together in sorrow and agony? What are you willing to trade for your soul? What are you saying is worth it to hold on to this that you're holding on to? What little bit of pride is too much to go? What little bit of pain? What little bit of despair? He said, I heard every prayer they prayed. Heard every prayer they prayed. You angels have been good angels, but I can't let you go because I'm going myself. Hallelujah. He said, they stood for me. I'm going to go stand for them. Oh, brother and sister, listen to what he says. I can see him rise from his seat. Why did he rise from his seat? Because he saw someone with faith, and that faith called him on the scene. Are you that one tonight that can call him on the scene with your faith? He's standing there watching, and when he stood the test, he said, okay, now I'm calming down. You move the heart of God. You move the heart of God. What are you talking about? The very creator who stood up there and said, let there be, and there was. And he's standing there, he watched it, and your little heart moved his heart. He said, I'm coming down to save you. I'm coming down to heal you. I'm going to deliver you. Because you stood there, and you said, I'll go through the fire. I'll go through the fire. I'll go through whatever, but I will not be afraid. I'll stand fearless. Terrified in your mind. Your heart is standing there just as firm, says, whatever it takes. Because I'm not here to serve myself. I'm here to save the mighty creator. To serve the mighty creator. That's why I'm here. That's my purpose, is to manifest Christ. That's my purpose, is to let him be the light through me. What else are you trying to accomplish? What else do you have to do? What are you going to do with this life that he's given you? I want to make a little money. I want to play a little bit. I want to have some fun. You better believe it. We all do. I want to eat some good food. I want to have some good fellowship. I want to have some nice friends. I want to be healthy. I want all those things are important. All those things are needed. All those things are necessary. And none of them is your purpose. Your purpose is to manifest the word for this day. Anything else is trivial. Everything else is trivial. One job, and that is fulfill that purpose, the word that you are supposed to manifest yourself through you. God wants to manifest you. That's the only thing you have to do. Boy, when we get that priorities and perspective, everything like that, watch the rapture come then. You're going to bring him off his seat. He's going to come down and say, now we're going somewhere. But this world is full of distractions. I see him rise from his seat. The priestly robes drop around him. I hear him say, come here, east wind, west wind, north and south. Everything obeys him. I can hear him say, get over here. That big white thunderhead out yonder where it's at. I can see him roll up to his throne, step over on there. He reaches up. He grabs a hold of a zigzag lightning, pass by the tree of life, pick up a pine. What's the matter? I'm going to Babylon this morning. My children have took a stand. I've taken a stand too. That's the kind of relationship Jesus Christ wants with you.
You stand for him, he stands for you. What a relationship. What a communion. About that time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went down into the fiery furnace, taking their final stand for the Lord. About that time they got into the fire, there's a fourth person like the Son of God standing there, fanning away the breezes down there. He's still in the fire. He's standing there. Or maybe he's just right outside, waiting for you to take that final step and say, I'll go through with the Lord's despised view. I started in Jesus, I'm going through. Throw me in the fire. Because whether or not he saves me or if I burn up, it's worth it. He's worthy of my life. See, brother and sister, it's just about love. It always is about love. It's not how well you can live. It's not how good you can follow the rules. It's not how much doctrine you know. It's do you love him more than your own nature? Do you love him more than your pain? Do you love him more than your loneliness? Do you love him more than your fears? Do you love him more than everything you love around here? Do you love him more than your family? Oh my. His eye is on the sparrow. If he would come all the way from glory to Babylon for those three children, how much will he come to Phoenix? Let me tell you this. How much will he come to Dixon tonight for all those who are sitting here bound? The hour has come. That's my God. That's your God. That's how he loves you. He said, well, you know, we want the world's idea of God. If we're really his, then he's going to take all these problems away. He's going to take the fire. We never have to go to the furnace. We never had these issues. He just takes care of it. We just skip along like at a picnic. But that's not the God that's real. That's not the reality. And that's why we go through the things, because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Keep your perspective. Keep your priorities, brothers. Let me, one more thing. I got to say this. I was thinking about this the other day. Those three children, they got thrown into that flame. And as soon as they get there, and they're like, oh my goodness, they're feeling, and they land there, and they look around. These bonds are burned off of my arms and feet, but I'm standing here. Shadrach? Meshach? Yeah. Who's that? Who are you? I'm the one you came in for. I'm the one who stood, that you stood for. Wonder what their conversation was like. What did they talk about? Because they were up and walking around. They were talking to each other. You can ask me one day if you like. What did you talk about? They're going to say, hey, let me tell you. Let me tell you what it was like. We saw each other and we looked, and there's that fourth one standing there. You ever see him in your trials? He's come, hasn't he? Amen. You might not have seen him standing up physically, but you knew he was there. Amen. And let me tell you what, everything was okay. Yes, sir. Yes, it was. You talked to him, didn't you? Oh, sometime I glimpse eternity. Stand. God bless you tonight, brother, sister. Appreciate you coming out on a cold night, middle of the week. That message been on my heart for a little while, and it's good to get it off. Just express that those dark nights, he was watching you all night long. He heard every prayer you prayed.
And all he wants you to do is just believe that. Because if you will believe that, then you will take the stand for him and then he'll come. You notice that when the Gentile age came in, God himself came down and stood for those. And when the Gentile age is going out, God himself has come down and is standing for us again. It's not just a baptism. That wasn't just a baptism in that fiery furnace. They didn't see a baptism walking around. They saw God himself in flesh. That's what we see today. It's not just a baptism. It's the Holy Ghost itself has come down, is manifesting himself among us. That's your inheritance. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you would come and speak to us tonight and encourage us. Father, I just pray that the word will have the effect that you wanted it to have, Lord, and I believe it has already. I believe it will continue to do so because it was your word, your voice speaking, Lord. Let it be revealed to the hearts that need it, Father. Encourage us, Father. You didn't come to beat us down. You came to lift us up, to strengthen us, to help us to recognize what you expect from us as your bride, just to stand for you. That you will help us to recognize how much you love us, how much you take care of us, how much you care. And sometimes, Lord Jesus, we feel like nobody cares. We stand here in the darkness and the gloom and the despair, feeling like nobody cares. I have nothing to live for. Nothing's going on right. And you're just a step away.
Yes.
You've already come down. You're just waiting for us just to take one more stand, just to hold out one more minute, just a little bit longer. When you start, we start feeling those flames licking up at us, then you're going to step in and say, child, I've been here the whole time. I've been here the whole time. I just needed you to give your faith to me instead of the devil. Oh, how that must make you proud when you see your children believing you. Lord Jesus, I love you. I pray again for Brother Wayne. He's having a hard time, Lord. Satan just gave him such a hard time, Lord. His body is physically beat down. And but he's been such a servant to you, Lord. He's been such a rock. I ask you to touch him. You will. Bless us, Lord. Keep us safe. Help us, Lord, to get through the rest of this week just pleasing you in all things we do. Bring us Sunday morning ready, Lord, in the right frame of mind, the right attitude, and walking in faith. Lord Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning. Let's sing that little chorus. I love you, my Lord.